Well, it will be a crowded agenda when state and federal government leaders meet next week at the COAG Leaders Retreat. Top of that agenda is tax reform, and we'll have more on that in a moment. But the mental health sector is lobbying hard now to get its voice heard at this summit. More than 90 organisations have signed a letter today calling on the leaders to fully fund a new national mental health agreement. Among them, Frank Quinlan, CEO of Mental Health Australia. Frank, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Earlier this year, the Federal Health Minister, Susan Lee, called for a, quote, new coordinated, binding and national approach to mental health, which sounds pretty much like what you and the others are calling for. So are you relieved by this, reassured by this? The federal government wants the same thing you do.
Look, we're encouraged at one level, Fran, but discouraged at another. This is the same request that COAG agreed in 2012 and the same request that COAG agreed in 2011. In 2011, I was lucky enough to sit with Patrick McGorry literally at the COAG table where mental health was discussed and first ministers agreed to undertake action. But sadly, we're still waiting for action. So I think the spirit of today's letter is really to say if you're getting together at a leaders' retreat next week, then let's be thinking about how it is that first ministers, prime minister and premiers and chief ministers can agree on things years ago and yet we're still waiting for action.
For any action? I mean, you're right. In 2012, the COAG leaders agreed to adopt clear targets and indicators for improving mental health, to develop a fully funded national agreement on mental health reform, to adopt a whole-of-life, outcome-based national indicators and targets. Are you saying nothing's happened?
I'm saying none of those things has happened, Fran. So the first ministers and prime minister recognise that one of the core problems that we have in mental health is the lack of coordination between Commonwealth and state government action that was recognised in 2012. They agreed to set up new arrangements so that that wouldn't be a barrier anymore. And just this year, we've had the release of the National Mental Health Commission's report into mental health in Australia, which found exactly the same thing. It found that overlaps, duplication and lack of coordination was one of the main barriers for mental health.
Have they started, though, the process of setting up new arrangements? I mean, it's fair to say, no matter how keen you are to see action and how much the need for action is urgent, setting up new arrangements between state and federal funding and delivery of mental health services is not simple and quick to do.
No, absolutely not. And we recognise that these are not simple problems. But, Fran, Australia currently doesn't have a national mental health plan. The fourth national mental health plan expired at the end of last year. Now, that was something we knew was going to happen. We don't understand why it is that we have to wait now. You know, we're almost 12 months after that. Why we have to wait? We know these plans are going to end. We can adopt planning processes much earlier than we've been doing. And it's this sort of ad hoc approach to mental health planning that I think is creating so much anxiety for people.
Well, what about the National Health Mental Health Commission? As you mentioned it, Chaired, they had a review conducted by Professor Alan Fells. Isn't that the step before setting up a mental health plan? Isn't that what the government was trying to do?
Look, it's part of the step, Fran, but it only, again, confirmed many of the things that we already know about mental health. As I said, in 2012, COAG agreed that what we needed were some clear targets and indicators so that we know what's happening in mental health. The National Mental Health Commission's report has made exactly the same recommendation 2 years later. If I was sitting down with my board next week and said, look, I've got this great idea to solve mental health problems, they would smile politely and say, well, that's nice, but who's going to do it?
Yeah.
How will we know you're going to do it? What are we going to measure? And when will you have it done by? And I think they're the sorts of questions that COAG need to be asking about how they're going to implement these reforms. Who's going to do it? When is it going to be done by? And how are we going to know it's done?
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think anyone listening who's been listening to this program over the years would say, hang on, I've heard this a lot of times, and every time I hear one of the leading mental health voices like yourself or Ian Hickey or Patrick or any of those people, it's the same point you make, which was we need clear targets, we need delivery systems to change, we need the states and the federal government to stop working against each other but with each other. Has anyone changed? Is any state doing it better than anyone else?
Look, I think some states, perhaps arising out of the frustration with our sort of currently dysfunctional Commonwealth arrangements. Some states are making their own progress.
Which ones?
New South Wales, for instance, have just released an excellent plan produced by the New South Wales Mental Health Commission. West Australia have made some good progress as well. These things can make progress in different areas, but it's this overarching framework that we're really missing.
Your frustration, you and the 90 signatories, this letter calling for this COAG summit to do something. Let's face it, they've got an agenda that's crowded already. Top of that is tax reform, which of course underpins any overhaul of mental health or any other policy area. But, you know, do you have slim hopes really of anything firm coming out in terms of mental health from this summit?
No, look, I think what we really need this time is for the First Ministers to actually take responsibility for following up some of these actions. So we're not asking them to do things that they haven't already agreed. We're not asking them to do things that aren't widely recognised as the right things to do, to boost investment in early intervention and prevention, for instance, to set targets around suicide. So we remain hopeful, but I think what we need to have is, in a certain sense, COAG getting out of the way of some of these things as well, because I think sometimes the pursuit of the perfect overarching plan is the enemy of action at a grassroots level. We can there's lots of small things that we could be doing if we weren't waiting around for some of these big plans to be sort of finally perfected.
If I could be so bold as to paraphrase you, I think you're just trying to say, could you do something? Frank Quinlan, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Frank Quinlan is the CEO of Mental Health Australia and more than 90 signatories to this letter urging the COAG leaders at the summit next weekend to finally get some action going on mental health.